Our text is from Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1 to verse 3. For the theme of the letter of Paul to the Ephesians is the bond of love between Christ and his church. Over the last three Sabbaths, we have been considering how the apostle saw Christian marriage as reflecting this bond of love. Husbands must love their wives in imitation of Christ who laid his life down for his church. Wives must submit to their husbands gratefully as the church would submit to Christ gratefully. We saw how in the Christian family, the husband and wife must see each other as more important than even their children, because they are one with one another. But next to the husband and wife would be the children. For a married man with children, his responsibilities towards his children would be even greater than his responsibilities towards the church, even if he's the pastor of the church. A pastor who neglects his children is a failure, even if he pastors a church of 10,000. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Asked the Apostle Paul. Therefore, immediately after speaking about the responsibility of husbands and wives, Paul proceeds to describe the responsibilities of parents and children. We begin this morning by considering the duties of children towards their parents. Verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Who is Paul referring to as children? Well, there is a sense in which all of us are children, no matter how old we may be. You may be 1 year old, 3 years old, you may be 30 years old, or you may be 60 years old, 70 years old. You are still a child in the eyes of God. As believers, we are all children in the eyes of God. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus, says Paul in Galatians chapter 3. However, it appears to me that in our text, Paul is particularly addressing young children. After all, he has just spoken about the role of husband and wives, and so his reference to children would naturally be to children dwelling with their parents. But in any case, I believe that what he's saying is really applicable to all unmarried children, even if they're past the age of the teenage years. It appears to me that in Scripture the only time a man leaves his parents' authority is when he's married. Likewise for the woman. Nevertheless, it is remarkable that Paul is addressing the children in the church. The children in the church are together with their parents, saints and faithful in the Lord Jesus Christ. They are not to be regarded as wicked worldlings and unbelievers, as those who belong to Satan. No! They bear the sign and seal of the covenant. They must be regarded as those who are consecrated unto the Lord. They are to be numbered amongst the faithful. They are lambs, children. Not kids. I think we should make it a point to remember. Don't address our children as kids, goats, children of goats. No. Unless you're walking as a goat, don't call your children kids. Call them lambs. Children, this is one of the reasons why you're here with us this morning. You know, in many churches today, it's fashionable for the children to be sent out after the maybe the first couple of songs, and then you know when the more adult part of the service come in, when the preaching is about to start, the children can go to have their Sunday school. Well, it's deemed that our children will enjoy the Sunday school more, and they will benefit more from maybe the art and craft than to hear some sermon. But you know, the Word of God teaches us that children are also saints. The Apostle Paul addressed children. And this letter was to be read initially in the congregation, like a sermon. And the Lord Jesus says, "Suffer little children, forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." And we'll come together unto the Lord to worship him. So we must have our children with us. As when the Word of God is preached, sometimes he addresses the adults directly, but the children can listen too, they learn from it too. And sometimes the Word of God will be addressed to the children directly, and the parents will also listen, and they also may benefit from it, because you know the Lord also teaches us, isn't it, that we must be like little children in order to enter into the kingdom. So we must learn something from them. Learn something of the instruction given to children, how we may walk in the way of the Lord. So this morning we're going to have a message that will be addressed particularly to the children. Your children, what kind of children would the Lord want you to be? What duty does the Lord require of you as children to your parents? Now we have given some acronym for our mummies and daddies, isn't it? For wives and for husbands. I remember. What's the acronym for wives? Yes, submit. What does it mean? What is the first? Seek your husband's leadership. Isn't it? Secondly, you undertake your husband's honor. Bend your will to your husband's if necessary. M, make a home in support of your husband. I, inculcate respect to your husband in the home. And T, take heed to do all things in the fear of the Lord as unto the Lord. What about for husbands? Well, that's easier. More difficult to do, but easier to remember. What is it? Love. That's right. And what is that? Lead your wife. Oversee your wife's spiritual health. And V, value them more highly than yourself. Encourage them with words and with deeds. But what about children? Well, I try to make it a shorter sermon by using the word obey, but there's too many things in scriptures to fit into 4 points. So we're going to use a longer acronym. We'll use the word honor. British spelling. First, hold your parents in highest esteem. Secondly, obey your parents in everything. Thirdly, never delay to obey your parents. Fourthly, obey your parents in the Lord. Where are we now? Oh, you understand your parents' love. And finally, review the reasons why you should honor your parents. Okay, so we have a 6-point sermon. I'll try to keep it short. First, children, the apostle would remind us to hold your parents in highest esteem. Hold your parents in highest esteem. Paul would not only have you obey your parents, but to honor them as well. You see that in verse 2. Honor thy father and thy mother. He's quoting the fifth commandment. Now, to honor is really a higher duty than to obey. We can obey someone without honoring the person, isn't it? We can do it grudgingly. You may be playing a game and your mommy says, go take a bath. And you refuse, you don't want to go. But you decide you better go. So you throw down everything, you dash to the bathroom, slam the door on the shower. 3 minutes later, you're out. Well, if you have actually taken a bath, you've obeyed your mommy. But you've also disobeyed your mommy, isn't it? Because you've not honored your mommy. You've dishonored your mommy. Right? You have dishonored your mommy by your spiteful behavior. Now, this kind of obedience is obviously what the apostle is not requiring of you. If you obey grudgingly, well, I'm not sure whether it's better not to obey at all. Because it's hypocrisy. And if you always obey in a hypocritical way, by and by, you will develop bitterness. And your home will be very tense. Therefore, before we talk about obedience, we must talk about honoring. We must talk about esteeming your parents. You must have very high regards for your parents, children. How to hold your parents in high regards? Now, positively, you'll be receiving your parents' opinions, instructions, very cheerfully, very respectfully. Well, this means that, you know, you don't only do when your parents give you a command. It says, I want you to do it now, then you do it. But when your parents even come to you and say, would you do this for me? Would you throw the rubbish for me, please? Or please don't say it was not a command. We honor your parents. Right? One of my children said that he's very black and white. So, can disobey when I don't say, I want you. Please do it. That means it's a request, right? So, if you don't do it, it's not disobedience. No, it is. That's the first thing to remember. Hold your parents in high esteem. When they give you a suggestion, take it seriously. When they make a request to you, take it as an instruction and command to you. Right? Especially for young children. Careful about that. Right? But negatively, to esteem your parents highly, or to hold your parents in high esteem, is not to despise your parents, not to curse your parents. Solomon says in Proverbs 20, whoso curseth his father or his mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness. In other words, anyone who curses his father or mother for any reason is in danger of eternal damnation. Hellfire. Indeed, cursing parents is such a terrible crime in the Old Testament that the civil law required that the offender be put to death. I trust that none of you children will curse your parents. I've seen that happening. Sometimes in the world, I hear a child quarreling with the father and child using all sorts of vulgarity against the father, and the father just allow it. There's gross wickedness according to the scriptures. Children, you must never ever scold your parents, use harsh words against your parents. Even if they provoke you, they may have sinned, you may not respond in a way that suggests that you're cursing your parents or despising them. If you have done so, may I urge you to seek forgiveness. Confess your sin to your parents. Sit down and talk about it. Seek their forgiveness. Remember that your parents are God's representative to you. You must honor them. Solomon says, Proverbs 15:20, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish man despises his mother. Again in Proverbs 23, he says, hearken unto thy father that beget thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. How do you despise your parents? You despise your parents when you, for example, do not acknowledge them before your friends. You hated to see your parents, as you're in school, your parents come along and you go and hide because you don't want to be seen with your parents. That's to despise your parents. You rather should be proud of your parents. But another way of despising your parents is to stare at your parents with angry eyes when they scold you. Some of you do that? You know what the Word of God says for someone who does that? It's in Proverbs 30. You look at Proverbs 30. And in verse 17, what does it say? The eyes that mocketh at his father and despise to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pluck it out, and the young eagles shall eat it. Oh, that's serious, isn't it? Lord is essentially saying that that is very serious. It's not saying literally that you send the eagle to come and pluck out your eyes, but he's saying that this is what you deserve if you do that. Do not despise your parents, children. Do not mock at them. Do not stare at them angrily. Honor them, esteem them, no matter how naggy they may be, no matter how exasperating they may be, no matter how frustrating they may be, they are still your parents. You must not despise them, but respect them. Remember that your parents are not perfect. They are sinners too. Somewhere along the line, parents, when you have sinned against your children, it's good to sit down with them and confess your faults with them. But children, remember, no matter how your parents may have sinned, they are your parents. Hold them in high esteem. Honor them by your behavior. Never bring shame to your parents. You realize, children, youths, that you have a tremendous potential to destroy the name and the wealth of your parents. Do not assume that you can do what you like with your free time or with the money that the parents give you. It belongs to me, therefore I can do what I want with it. Do not assume that you can do what you want with your mobile phone that the parents may give you. Remember that you have tremendous power in your hand, as it were, to destroy the honor of your parents. Some years ago, something happened in one of the churches in Singapore, one of the conservative churches. A young man was the son of a pastor. Went overseas to study and came back and I think did quite well, quite brilliant. And had this brilliant idea to start some business or to do something, I forget the details. But what he did was he then went to visit three elders of a few churches associated with his congregation, with his father's congregation, and borrowed money from the elders to the tune of 100,000 each. The elders were quite rich, so they thought, well, this pastor's son, and you know, we should help him. And so they gave the money. But soon they realized that they were lied to. The money was lost. And this young man had no intention to repay at all. Well, the father offered to sell his flat to repay everything. But the elders just couldn't have him do that. But in any case, his ministry was lost because it was published in the papers. From then on, he ceased preaching. Not heard of him since. Son, he eventually went to jail. He was bankrupt and went to jail. But what a shame he brought to his father. Young people, take heed. I hope you're listening. Don't bring shame to your parents. Hold them in high esteem. Your actions have great repercussions. But now, secondly, if you honor your parents, you must obey your parents in everything. Children, you must obey your parents in everything. But wait a minute, you say. Paul does not say obey in everything, isn't it? Surely he does not require me to obey the things I do not like to do. What if my mother asked me to eat my peas, and I hate peas? Well, I'm afraid you have to eat it. For yes, the Lord wants you to obey in everything. Turn with me to Colossians. There's a parallel passage. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 20. What does he read here? Children, obey your parents in all things. For this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. What is in all things but in everything? What does it mean to obey in everything? Well, this means simply that you must eat your peas, even if you hate peas. It means that you must not practice selective deafness. Listen to what you want to listen. Paul is a very experienced pastor. He knows that children are children. He knows that children would often do what their parents require them to do if it pleases them, if there's something, a reward that will come with it. Go and change up. We're going to the wild and wet place. And you see the children scrambling and they're going to change straight away. Right? Go change up. We're going to church now. What happens? One, twice, three times? Did mommy say something? Probably the thunder. Or maybe it was our neighbor, the lady scolding her husband. Selective toughness. Children, obey your parents in everything, so long as they do not require you to sin against the Lord. So long as they ask you to do anything that does not go against your conscience. We'll talk about that later. You must obey. Even if you do not like to do it, mop the floor. Don't like to mop the floor, do it. Your older child especially. Throw the rubbish. Clear the sink. Read the Bible. Go and sleep. Teenagers hate to sleep. They think they can remain awake for the rest of their life. Obey your parents when they say go and sleep. Otherwise, you sin not only against your parents, but against the Lord. Youths, take heed. We'll talk about how parents must not provoke their children to wrath in a later message. But for now, you must realize you are responsible to obey your parents, even if they are unreasonable, burdensome, provocative, or even uncool in what they want you to do. So long as they do not require you to sin, you must obey cheerfully. Now you're sighing, dragging your feet. That's dishonoring your parents. So if they suggest, for example, that you have to put away, you should put away that book that you're reading. Suggestion? Put away the book that you're reading. What should you do? Honor your parents. Throw away that CD. Stop seeing that group of friends that you're seeing, because it's bad for you. Listen, the word of God requires you to obey in everything. You sin when you refuse to obey. Your life will be filled with guilt. And I guarantee you, if this is what you're doing, that your home now is filled with strife and struggles. And part of it is because of your disobedience. Remember that even if your parents may seem to be overtly strict and unreasonable, you cannot not obey. Two wrongs do not make one right. Even if your parents may be wrong, so long as they do not require you to sin, seek to obey. I'm not saying there's no room for discussion with your parents, especially for older children. But I'm saying that ultimately you must honor your parents if despite your objection your parents believe that this is right. Then do. I want to tell you that you're blessed if your parents are willing to put their foot down, risk damaging the relationship between you and him or her by asking you to do something that you do not like. You have a good parent, responsible parent. Your parent is simply letting you do whatever you want to do. Then you grow up to be irresponsible, ill-disciplined persons that are likely to get yourself into grave trouble in time to come. So thank God if your parents is ready to take the step, put the foot down. Because sometimes they have no choice. They're going to let you go at the end, but when they express that displeasure at what you're doing, know that you are sinning against the Lord when you continue. Regardless whether you are young or old children, obey your parents in everything. Of course, remember, that includes when your parents say, please, or parents give you a suggestion. Take that into serious consideration. Don't displease your parents. That is the second duty towards your parents. Obey them in everything. But thirdly, never ignore or delay to obey your parents. What this means, children and youth, is that you should not take your time to obey your parents' instruction. You ought rather to obey immediately. There's one occasion when the Lord Jesus was still a boy, when Mary and Joseph brought him to the temple, and somehow when they left for home, they did not take him. They thought that he was with his uncles and aunties and traveling. But he was in the temple. What was he doing in the temple? He was attending a catechism class. Although he was not only learning, but he was teaching, asking questions and giving answers and so on. Later on, when they found him finally, they were rather upset. And what did the Lord Jesus say? The Lord Jesus says, how is it that ye sought me? Is it not that I must be about my Father's business? Well, the Lord Jesus was essentially telling them that he would rather prefer to be at the temple. Nevertheless, he immediately obeyed them and followed them. Well, let the Lord Jesus' example be yours. Children, there are times when your parents may tell you to do something and you really don't feel like doing it. You'll do it nevertheless. And as far as you can, immediately. When I have time to talk about training children, maybe the next message, I'll tell the parents that you must not train your children to be disobedient by allowing delayed obedience. You know how it is? I used to be guilty of this myself, and sometimes when I'm busy, I fall into this error. You tell a child to do something, and what do? You say, pick up the toy, clear up the toys. And the child doesn't do anything, right? I'm going to count to three, and you pick up the toys. One, nothing happened. Two, nothing happened. Three, still nothing happens. So what do? You go out to take the toys and you throw them all into the basket and then you spank the child angrily. What has happened? You sin against the Lord. You sin against the child. And you allow the child to sin. You're training the child to be more and more disobedient. For the child to realize that it can take longer and longer. Every time you count 1, 2, 3, you're telling your child, it's okay, third time. After that, maybe you'll get spanking. Maybe only. Right? So it's okay not to obey. Now, parents, do not train your child to delay obedience. Teach them to give immediate obedience, especially for the younger children. And for the older one, it becomes a tug of war after a while if you do not train them from young. Because you must be reasonable. If a child is playing, you allow the child to play a computer game and it's halfway through an exciting part and say, stop now! You're going to provoke the child to anger. Right? We've got to be reasonable. But nevertheless, we must, when we give an instruction and we require now, do not give that leeway and say 1, 2, 3 and maybe 5 minutes time, 10 minutes time you can obey. No, that's training them to disobedience. And now children, your part is important for you to remember to obey immediately. Promptly. And let me tell you a story. Well, this is mashed up from a few different stories. Young boy by the name of Mark, let's say. He loves to play, you know. He tends to be slow in obedience. His mommy would tell him to do something and he would, you know, always wait. 1, 2, 3, maybe the third time I'll do. Sometimes he forget to do and so on. One day, mommy brought Mark out to the park to walk. And then Mark ran off along the path. New park, they weren't familiar with it. Just continued running on. And mommy screamed at him, come back now, Mark, come back, come back. Mark just refused, just continue on. And mommy says, I'm going to count to three, you come back. 1, 2. And the child just continued on. And then there was a boom. He stepped across a road at the end of the path. And a car knocked him down. Mark could have grown up to be a godly young man. Had he learned to obey? Well, children, that could be you. Learn to obey promptly, immediately. Never ignore your parents. Every time you disobey your parents, you sin against the Lord. Every time you delay to disobey your parents, you sin against the Lord. But remember, obey the Lord. Obey your parents in the Lord. So fourthly, obey your parents in the Lord. This means that the only time that you should disobey your parents is when they are telling you to do something that causes you to sin or to go against your conscience. If your mommy asks you to tell a lie to your teachers, for example, say you go on a vacation and you know you have homework but you didn't bring your homework along. Your mommy didn't tell you to do it, and so you didn't do your homework, and you come back to school, and what happens? Didn't do. Right? Your mommy says, tell your teacher that you were sick. What should you do? You tell your mommy, mommy, I cannot lie. I must not lie. Because you will always lie, but say, I must not lie. Right? It's sin against God. I will tell my teacher, I went on vacation, I did not take my book. Okay? Honestly. So too, if your daddy were to say, one day, Sunday morning. Daddy says, right, today we are not going to church. It's a bright sunny day, let's go to the park. What do you do? You fear the Lord. You tell your daddy, Daddy, it's the Lord's day. We must go to church. Worship the Lord. Okay? Because this is the day that the Lord has made. We must rejoice and be glad in it. We must keep the Sabbath holy. Remember that you must love God more than you love your mommy or daddy. The Lord Jesus says, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Our youths and single adults, this applies to you too. But of course, as you grow in maturity of thought, you realize it's not so easy to obey in the Lord. It becomes more and more difficult. In fact, you will begin to be tempted to obey only when it suits you. But that is wrong. You must obey in the Lord. But how? Well, let me suggest that you learn to distinguish between opinion and conviction, especially for older children. The younger ones may not appreciate this very much. As you're a bit older, distinguish between them. If your parents require you to do something which is against your conviction or your conscience, you must not obey. But if it's something of indifference, then you ought to obey even if you do not feel like it. Thus your father believes, for example, that you should all pack up and go to, say, a charismatic church. And you yourself is convinced that that is not right, that we should not worship God in those ways, that is, that the charismatic churches practice. You believe that you sin against God in having to sing those songs or to worship in that particular way. Then what should you do? You should then tell your parents that I must not sin against the Lord, and you cannot go, even if your family goes. Of course, there will be conflict then. It becomes difficult. But if, say, your parents ask you to go to a particular church and another congregation has similar doctrine and practices and so on, but you really don't want to go because you like your friends are all here, and you just don't want to go, then what do you do? Well, that is an opinion, you must remember, not a conviction. Then you follow your parents. Okay? Distinguish between whether it's an opinion or it's a conviction. If it's a conviction, it has to do with your conscience. If you do something against your conscience, the Word of God tells us you will make shipwreck of your faith. Conscience, the precious jewel of the soul. No one has the right to doubt it, not even your parents. Because God is the Lord of your conscience, not your parents. If your parents require you to do something that will go against your conscience, that is bounded to the scripture, then it's your duty to disobey. But of course, if a child comes to you, as parents, your child comes to you and say, this is my belief, my conviction, talk to your child. It may be just an opinion. But if it comes to you, this is what I believe the scripture says, then respect your children's conscience. Okay? Children, youth, obey your parents in everything in the Lord. But fifthly, understand your parents' love. Now this is so straightforward and yet so easy to forget. It's especially easy to forget their love when they are withholding something that we want or chastising us, isn't it? Such times it's easy to think that our parents are unreasonable. Isn't it, children? Parents are most unreasonable whenever they don't want to give you something. Right? When you want to watch a particular TV and program, parents say no. And it's so unreasonable. Right? This will not do. However imperfect your parents may be, you must honor them And as such, you must view them always with charity. You must remember that your parents do love you. No parents will hate their children unless they have serious psychological problems. As such, you must understand that if your parents want you to do something or do not want you to do certain thing, that they do it, they put a restriction out of love for you. It's because they think that's good for you. They may be wrong, but one thing you can be sure, their restriction for you or their requirement for you is out of love. The Lord Jesus reminds us that no father will give his son a fish, or rather a serpent if he asks for a fish, or a scorpion if he asks for an egg. So if your parents are withholding something from you, you must remember that it's because they feel that it's good for you, or that that thing is not good for you. In their love for you, they risk conflict and deny you what you want to have. That is love. Your parents let you have everything, then there's a demonstration that they don't love you. So too, when your parents chastise you, you must understand that it's out of love. At least one of the motivating factors would be love, whatever other reasons may be. Solomon is addressing parents when he says, "He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes." Now, parents, you must always remember to chasten in love, not in anger. Remember that we sin when we chasten in anger. If you chasten in anger, you can destroy your child. You can cause very severe damage to them in their personality, in their character. You can cause them to perpetuate the sin down the generation because they'll think that's the way to discipline children. When you're angry, just lash out them. Many of us have that. Our parents were unbelievers. They did that. So we do that. We must repent. Always discipline in love. And tell them that you love them. One of the things that I often would do with my children when I discipline them, I'll ask them, why did I discipline them? Why did I spank? Is it because I hate you? And once or twice earlier on, for the younger ones, I get this answer, yes. We have to remind them, no, it's because of love. Right? So children, remember when your parents chastise you, it is out of love. Understand your parents' love for you. Okay? But finally, we're running out of time. Now, children and youth, may I encourage you to reflect on why you should honor your parents. Why should you honor your parents? Well, in our text, Paul simply says, because it's right. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now, this should be a good enough reason for Christian children to be obedient. It is right. But let me give you three other reasons. First, the Lord hates disobedience to parents. You turn to Romans chapter 1 and the last part of chapter 1, and you see there a list of sin. Right? What do you have there? Well, you have fornication, wickedness, maliciousness, murder, deceit, backbiting, hating God. What else does he say is a gross sin? Right? Look at verse 29 to 31. I think you get it, don't you? Disobedience to parents. Verse 30. What can I conclude from all this and all the curses in the Bible for disobedience to parents? What can we conclude? But that dishonoring our parents is extremely hateful to God. No Christian can claim exception. And now secondly, conversely, the Lord is well pleased when you honor your parents. You read in Colossians 3:20 earlier, Paul says, "Their children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord." Just as a breaking of the fifth commandment is hateful to God, it is well-pleasing to God when we obey. You say, "But it's hard for me to honor my parents. It's hard for me to maintain my patience with them. It's hard for me to respect them when they have such old-fashioned ideas. It's hard for me to give in to her when she's so naggy, so suspicious of me. It's hard for me to submit to my father when he's so demanding, so restrictive." Well, children and youth, let it fall that you're doing it for the Lord's sake, because it's well-pleasing to him, motivate you. Christ denied himself and died for you. Will you not, for the sake of your Christian testimony and for the glory of God, for the love of the Lord, seek to obey his word? The Lord is displeased at your disobedience, but he's pleased when you seek to obey him. Don't you want to please the Lord, children? But this is not enough. There is yet another encouragement, namely that the fifth commandment actually carries a promise. Now, the fifth commandment is the first commandment that has an explicit, direct and particular promise attached to it. The second commandment has a promise too. It's implicit, indirect, in general. The promise in the second commandment, though relevant to the second commandment in a certain way, in a special way, is relevant to all the other commandments too. But fifth commandment especially, the promise relates only to this commandment. "Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee," is this fifth commandment. But the Apostle Paul enlarges it. He removed the geographic boundaries of the land of Canaan, which is also one great indication that the land of Israel is no longer the Holy Land. Anyway, he says, verse 2, "Honor thy father and mother," which is the first commandment, "with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth." Scripture often speaks of long life as a blessing from God. Here, God promises that if you keep the fifth commandment, you can expect to live a long life, that it may be well with you, and that your life will be long. But this does not mean that those who die early are therefore, you know, disobedient children. Many of the reformers died early, and there's no indication at all that they were disobedient children. God has a purpose to take them away. But it does mean that we can take encouragement that we'll have the Lord's blessing if we keep the fifth commandment. That the fifth commandment carries an express promise of long life and prosperity as far as shall serve for God's glory and our good, as the Shorter Catechism 66 reminds us. But how is this so? Well, we can easily figure it out. I believe, for example, that obedient children will generally become law-abiding persons who will not put themselves into unnecessary danger and harm in society. Could this be one of the reasons why the fifth commandment is placed at the first place in the second table of the moral laws? Right, we all think that this murder is more severe than disobeying parents, and yet you realize that as it gets less and less severe down the list, but fifth commandment is right at the top. Because if you obey the fifth commandment as a child, you're bound to begin to obey the other commandments. But to the degree that you disobey the fifth commandment, you will begin to be very lax towards all commandments. and you bring misery to your life. So children, it's good reason to honor your parents. Reflect on those good reasons. Well, we must conclude. But children and young people, obey your parents in the Lord. Hold them in highest esteem. Obey them in everything. Never delay to obey them. Obey them in the Lord. Understand your parents' love. And reflect on why you should honor them. If you love your parents, you must love and honor them. The Word of God promises that if you obey your parents, it will be well with you and you live long upon the land. If you disobey your parents, your life will be miserable. If you ever wonder why your life today is miserable, first question you must ask, have I been disobedient to my parents? Children and teens, are your parents unhappy with you because you do not honor them by your behavior? Are your parents angry with you because you are lazy? Is a mother upset with you because you refuse to do your homework or refuse to help in the house? Is your father disappointed with you because you've been selfish? You think only for yourself? Have they expressed that on numerous occasions? Or has it come to a boiling point? There's a lot of quarrels in the home and you say, home is just so miserable. Why? Think of the reason why. One great contributing factor is the breaking of the fifth commandment. May I urge you to repent of your sin against your parents. Go and ask the Lord for forgiveness. Go to your parents, ask your parents for forgiveness. And parents reciprocate by seeking the forgiveness of your children where you have sinned against them. Apostle Paul predicted that a long time ago that there comes a day when there will be many disobedient children. He says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heedy, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. For young children, older children, if you are disobedient to your parents, you have a form of godliness, but you are denying the power thereof. In other words, if you continue to be disobedient to your parents, you are not acting like a Christian, and not only so, but you do not repent of your sin, then all that awaits you is a life of misery, an eternity of misery. Oh, children, turn away from sin. Your first sin of disobedience and dishonoring your parents. May the Lord grant that this may in some ways be a word in season, that you may walk in the way of life. You can have a happy family. A happy family come about not only through the parents seeking to do what is right, but children doing what is right. Children, honor your parents. Amen. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. O Lord, our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that Thou hast given us so many important instructions in regards to the covenant home. We recognize how we have fallen short, both young and old. Indeed, so often it's because of the sin of us who are parents that our children respond the way that they do. We ask Thy forgiveness, Lord, for our sin against our children. And we pray for Thy grace and Thy mercy, that we may learn how to bring them up in Thy fear and Thy love. But O Lord, for us who are children, We look to Thee to help us. You understand, Lord, how sometimes we find it so difficult to obey our parents, to honor them. Sometimes we're tired. Sometimes we just want to enjoy that little play a bit more. Sometimes we feel that they are so old-fashioned, so strict. And help us, Lord, we pray, as Thou hast taught us in Thy word, to honor them, to obey them. Help us, Lord, we pray, that we may have godly homes that shine forth for the Lord Jesus Christ, wherein the name of Christ may be greatly magnified. For we would pray these things in and through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We close by singing from Psalm 119, and it is verses 9 to 16 to St. Paul. By what means shall a young man learn his way to purify?
Shall a young man learn his way to purify, if he according to thy word that to attentive be, unfeignedly thee have I sought with soul and heart. Oh, let me not from the right path of thy commands depart. Thy word I in my heart have hid, that I offend not thee. Thou me, the judgments of thy mouth, each one my lips declare and have. For joy thy testimonies weigh, then riches all me gave. I will thy precepts make my meditation, and carefully I'll have respect unto thy ways each one. Upon thy statutes my delight shall constantly be set, and by thy grace I will thy holy word forget.
Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory for ever and ever. Amen.